Yo, man, give me some of that old gangster ass shit, you know what I'm saying? Some shit I can just kick back from a fat ass joint, too.
Some good shit.
Put your hand over your heart and in a loud, clear voice, play along with us.
We love hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, yeah.
And I have trouble. Do your thing.
You ready? Let me know when we're ready. You ready?
Juice!
I also have pins.
Uh-huh.
Copy your swag, right?
Okay.
Sorry, Tori. We'll get back to you in a minute. We are Bach. It's the world's most smoked out podcast. We love hip hop.
Yeah.
I'm your host with the most toast Friday, Ricky Dredd, a.k.a. 420 Merry Christmas, a.k.a. Chris Kringles, a.k.a. I'm pretty hot and high at the same time. Get it right of me.
It's me, SSC underscore Hey Herx underscore PK on Instagram, because you know that's the platform I fuck with. Smokey the Bear, one of my other aliases.
Jeez!
Paul Bunyan, because nobody chops more trees than Paul Bunyan. You know what I'm saying? So, the man that makes pre-rolls disappear out of thin air. You know what I'm saying? Pre-roll killer.
Can I give you one?
Sure.
AKA the pre-roll king.
Pre-roll king, I'll take it.
I was talking to behind your back earlier.
BK, pre-roll king.
I was at the 420 event earlier, right? Over at...
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the 420 event. I got spotted by a lot of heads today. They're, yo, you're the guy from We Love Hip Hop. Yo, you're the guy from... Yo, North Respect, fam. Do your thing, fam. How can we get on the show, fam?
And I wasn't there for you to say, yo, talk to
yo,
that
I told them, yo, send your inquiries to We Love Hip Hop Toronto. We Love Hip Hop Toronto at Gmail.
Jesus.
That's what I tell them. Send on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah, some man's even dropped some wicked freestyles for me today.
Oh yeah, eh?
I couldn't even get my phone out before the man started going, dropping bars. I'm like, hold on, let me get my phone. The man's fire spitting. Yo, and it was dope. Straight up, it was dope. Both of them were dope.
So yeah, I was up there earlier. I did my thing. I don't know. I tried to stay low-key for as long as I could.
Yeah, but you're the guy wearing the We Love Hip Hop hat.
I know, right?
Trying to stay low-key.
That kind of gave me away. But what we did accomplish is the MC that was over there, I got him to get on the mic and say, world's most smoked out podcast, We Love Hip Hop, biggest shit in the city. Right?
Sick.
Right at like 4:19.
So that's just when I got there.
Yeah. So it's a thing. But where we are right now, you're hearing a little bit more noise in the background at the Youngsterdam, and we're actually sitting in a different place than you usually see us do in our interviews.
Yes, we're a different location in the same spot.
Yes. So we're over here at the Youngsterdam Lounge over here at 529 Yonge Street. There's an event that's going on right now. There's a comedy jam that's happening. Some great comedians have already hit the stage, right? I know Dave Martin already hit the stage. I know our guest that's already sitting with us here, Zoe Brownstone.
Hi.
She's hit the stage. But before we get into any of the festivities tonight, I want to know one thing.
What's up, Smokey? What y'all smoking on?
Oh, that's my other defecto nickname. So in my vault.
See what?
Send a bag.
Please.
And our other guest just popped up, Dave also. Dave.
Yeah. Shout out to Dave Martin.
So I have here the purple candy.
Jesus Christ. Let me see this.
Yeah, you like to inspect the buds. Oh. Double fist.
It's 420, isn't it? You gotta double fist some blunts. Look at this. Yes! We gotta get a smell-o-vision going on. You know what I mean? Can we work on that, Bill Gates?
I think we need to hire Norm to fucking break down the profile. Oh, the Terps.
Yeah.
Yo, he was killing it.
Shout out Big Norm, yo. He gave the perfect weed profile description. It was very descriptive. needless to say. But let's get to our guest here today.
Yes, we have two.
Oh, before we even do that, I have weed.
Oh. Jeez. Stoner 420 event.
So I have somebody's some black high. Indica right here. And I'm going to back it out the bag and watch this.
Wow.
Dun, it's raining goodness.
So frosty.
Yes.
Look at this. Look at this.
Look at that.
Look
at this.
You can see the frost.
Yeah, I can see the trichomes all the way from back here. It's fantastic.
The trichomes. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See the tripes.
Jesus Christ.
Dewy little bud.
Ah,
my sound effects don't want to work today, but we'll get it popping. But yeah.
I think there's too much noise in the background for sound effects anyways.
And no matter. Oh, there we go. There he is. And where's my last one? All my sound effects are dying today.
They're delayed.
I know. Nothing. Oh my God. No Aubrey today?
None.
Jesus Christ.
No respect for your name.
No tunes for my
no
head
respect,
top.
Yes. More respect for your head top.
You know what I'm
Doberman Pinscher. Anyhow. Beautiful dog. Beautiful
so let's
dog.
Get into our interview right here.
It is a beautiful
red one too.
Glad
nice.
He's getting secondhand smoke.
Oh, he needs it.
That dog's getting high.
He needs it, trust
he
me.
He needs to just chill.
The more mellow a Doberman Pinscher
is, the thing about
the
Dobermans
better.
Is they let you out in, but they don't let you leave.
No.
That's the problem. They let you in, but they don't let you out. Right? You break in. Go ahead. Do your thing. Try to leave.
That'll cost you.
That's when they you thought we were asleep.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's get to our interviewees in the place here. Okay, so you guys just finished the show over here at the Youngsterdam Lounge, right?
Live 420 show.
Well, this show still might be going on a little bit now, but
did you guys already go up and do your thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How was it? How did you find being in a really weeded out environment?
Are you? Where did you perform? On the patio?
Yeah, out on the patio in the back. Oh, it was great. I love doing weed lounges because like. Whatever you do up, like if you can connect with that audience, like it's great. People are stoned and they're like going on a little adventure, and it's like I might just step in and they want to be there. They I think they want to laugh, so it's like let's see if we can get there. It's fun. It's a challenge, but it's good.
I always wonder this. You know, because everybody's so smoked out, do you get like the belly laughs, or is everybody just like zoned out?
It depends.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I wouldn't dare take a microphone away from a woman. But, I would say you don't really get. Sometimes you don't always get like a lot of like huge big laughs, but a lot of smiles and nodding heads.
A lot of people
agreeing with you, and I've noticed that.
I can dig that.
And sometimes they laugh in places that you don't normally expect them to.
Yeah.
And sometimes where you do expect them to, they don't. And then it's a trip.
So it challenges your writing.
What just challenges you to be able to focus and not realize.
And like listen.
Know your environment.
Yeah, like listen to the room.
Maybe
they'll
the environment
tell
you what is
a
better
want.
Question.
Yeah.
And like we weed rooms are like honest rooms because they're like, if they don't like it, you're not getting laughs. Like they're not going to give you pity laughs because they're stoned.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's great. It's a good
too
time.
Too much energy
like
to do that.
They don't like being talked down to either. So it's not like you have to. It's not like you have to do weed jokes either.
Mm.
Sometimes it's almost sort of like, okay, we get it. We get the weed jokes. We can talk about something else too.
Yeah.
It's almost offensive.
Yeah. Because they know a lot of that stuff. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, we're stoners. Okay. Yeah. Fuck, right. We're all here because we're stoners.
It's right. So true.
Right? So we'll take one or two, but don't give us more than we need.
Yeah. Okay. One thing I want to know. Okay. I'm going to start with you. Okay. All right.
Zoe.
My bad. Okay. Who's your comic influences? This is like my generic question of the day, right? And what triggered you to get into comedy?
Well, that's like a big
question. I wanted to know myself. Like.
Wow. Comedy influences like now, right now?
We can go from before and then we can do some of the ones now.
Okay. Like local Toronto acts are my influences. Like I really, the scene in Toronto is great. There are so many like new up and comers and like people who have stuck around in the city to like really carve out a scene here, and constant influencing. Like every night I'm out at a show and I'm seeing like other great comedians, it's like, fuck, how do I do that? Like I want to get there. Don't get me wrong, like Jerry Seinfeld and Amy Schumer and Louis, like they're places in my
classics.
Heart for like the giants, but right now, like in what I'm doing in my stand-up, it's like I look at the community around me is like very, I aspire to them.
So what made you decide, you know what, I'm gonna become a comedian? Like I'm gonna say, yeah, this is what I'm gonna fucking do. Fuck what people say, fuck the critics, I'm just gonna do this.
I wish it was like that. Like, that sounds great. It was more just like, I think I want to try this thing.
I had some
opinions that I was like, I don't think I'm the only one that thinks this. And, like, maybe I think it's kind of weird and funny. And let's try it out and see if like I can get people to see the way that I'm seeing something. Like, yeah. I love talking about being a stoner. I think it's becoming so normalized. Weed is going to become legal, and like more and more people are kind of coming out of the weed closet. Yeah. And like being on stage,
coming out of the grow room.
Exactly. And being on stage and like getting to like communicate some of these things to people and having them being like, yeah, that is true. Like, very satisfying.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing stand-up for about 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Dave.
Sure.
Because I've been watching some of your comedy, like, in my... Because we usually research rappers, right?
Hmm?
We usually research rappers at a hip-hop show. But last night, I was researching you guys through watching stand-up. Okay? So the question that sparked in my mind is, have you ever felt like you crossed a line on a joke? Like, you seen somebody just go, like, way too much, and you're just like, ooh, maybe I did cross the line.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know someone to say all the time. I mean, I don't think any... Maybe some do, but I don't think... Most comics don't go out of their way to offend people or anything like that. You just you do a joke and someone finds it offensive. But, I mean, I'm sure I've crossed the line, but you're always going to cross the line with somebody. You're always... Someone's always going to find some reason that, like, they're upset with what you're doing. And you don't really worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And what's your favorite kind of rooms?
Any place that any time that the crowd is there for comedy.
Mm.
Just because sometimes comics have to do gigs, you know, for money or gigs they don't always want to.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're bar gigs.
Yeah.
And sometimes the crowd's sort of like, what, there's a show going on?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, how much do I need this? And then
sometimes
you have to leave your act at the door and then just please the fuckers there. So
Can we
swear on this?
Of course. It's a podcast.
Okay,
all
right. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
You
don't need to hold your
tongue.
No,
sometimes they like to be, are you explicit? Yes. Are we not?
You say fuck, shit, cunt, all the fucking bad words
we
you can
come. We can smoke once, so I think we can swear, I hope.
Yeah. You know what? We do it all the time.
I have a off-brand question for you, okay? Is going to your dealer still the second date thing?
Like for me?
Yes.
I don't go to my dealer anymore. I haven't gone to my dealer in like, I haven't seen like one person to buy weed from in several years. I've been I dropped him. He wasn't very good. I've never had a good weed dealer. I've never had a guy. Yeah. Like, but I've never had a guy where I've been like, you're my person. I trust you.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
and it's,
yeah.
I got really lucky with like the dispensary I shop at is like really good. And like, they know so much about weed. It's like, mind blowing, crazy.
It's always tough to have a friend that's also your weed dealer, because then every time that you have weed and he knows that you didn't buy it from him, he's always sort of like, "Hey, where'd you get that? What's that?" So that's why, I have a friend of mine who deals, but like I go and I kind of hang out, but if I'm not, I wouldn't go there just to hang out. It's always sort of like, oh, I guess I'll hang out here for a half hour or something.
He gives you one of those, "What you got over there?"
Well, That's why I always say I feel bad for the. That's why I feel bad for the drug dealers, because they're gonna find out who their real friends are. So
perks of the podcast.
Did someone just hand you weed?
I am thinking so. Yes.
Can I have your job?
Big up. Yo, Trap House connection. Yeah, I see you.
I'll take weed too.
You know what I'm saying?
I smoke weed.
yes. Big up Trap House connection. I see them on the gram doing
their
thing.
You can tell I don't make that much money in stand up because I'm like, please give me weed for free.
Hey.
Well, we're going to be smoking some
Shameless.
It's the world's most smoked out podcast.
We're going to smoke.
This is what happens.
Gotta show up.
What do you guys do with hecklers? And this is a question for both of y'all. What do you guys do with a heckler?
Well, you know what? Most of the time when people are heckling, they honestly feel like they're making the show better. They feel like I'm adding to the show because you know, so there's some people that are, but even when people yell, hey, you suck, which actually I've almost never actually had yelled at me. I have much more creative hecklers than that. But you just try to deal with them. You try to be, first of all, you try to make sure that he's the only one that's bothering you. If he's bothering everybody, that's bad. But if he's just bothering you, and you start yelling at the, like, then you start really tearing into him, and the rest of the crowd's going to be, hey, why are you so mean to that guy? Yeah. But if the rest of the crowd's pissed off, then they're sort of like, then they're on your side.
Yeah.
And then that's when you can probably go at some.
Okay.
But most clubs try to put, and rooms try to put hecklers, like, they encourage no heckling, because you're fucking up a show. No one goes to see that.
Yeah,
for sure.
If it happens, that's kind of cool, but usually it fucks things up. And yeah, most comics don't get on stage and go, "Oh, I can't wait for someone to heckle me."
Yeah.
We have an act, and you want to do it. You want to do your.
I had,
your
a, material comedi- that you I had prepared. A comedian come at me one time because I was like having a conversation with my friend, right?
Well, that'll do it.
But he wasn't that funny, like. He wasn't that funny, right? And he's trying to like get at me now, and I'm like, bro, don't try. I told him today, don't heckle me. That's what I said.
Was it me? Huh? Did I do that?
No, it wasn't you.
Are you sure it wasn't me? Okay.
I'm like, yo, don't heckle me. And then people are looking at me like I called the comedian a heckler. Like I was stoned. I won't lie. I'm like, yo, just don't bother me, man. I'm not trying.
If living jokes, my life.
If your jokes were a little bit better, maybe I'd be.
You don't have my attention.
When people are on the stage, even they might think their jokes are funny, so you can't tell them their jokes are not funny and then start a conversation.
But that's a very like Canadian attitude that we like have to be polite. Like in the States, if you are doing badly, like people will talk, people will yell at you, people like might throw shit at you. Like Toronto, I don't know. Like I
Screwface capital.
We're a silent heckle. Like we silently like fucking glare at you. Like if I get heckled, it's almost like. Not welcome, but if they're talking to you, at least you can like engage. But sometimes people just stare at you
just
or
attacking me for no reason. Like, I'm standing in my
front. Yeah, that's not fun. That's not good.
I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm not speaking loud. I'm not, you know, I'm just.
And he called you out.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, bro, like. And I didn't feel bad at the time, but now when I think back, I was rude.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Let's get him.
And what's the most creative?
Let's find him and get him.
I'm done with it. I just wanted to bring it up.
And what's the most creative way have you found to like deal with a heckler if like one starts yelling out at you?
I'm not really like I wish I was a little bit more confident with hecklers. Like typically I'll try and get out of it. Like I don't really engage. If people are talking, like I try to ignore it, which never like works because it's always in your brain.
Yeah,
even if you're trying to ignore it, it's in my brain. So like a couple times I've had like a good one-liner, like just like
right
happen,
top,
just
right
like bam, gets a
boom.
Big gets a big laugh, and then he shuts the fuck up. But like that's
right off the hip.
That's luck and like the right weed before you go on stage. You know what I mean? Like just the right strain.
Right.
But yeah, I don't have any really creative.
How about you, Dave?
Do you have like creative tips for
I think you just have to work on the fly. It just depends. Yeah. Again, like I said, you have to make sure because I've been in some rooms where like you can just like you guys might have been. The thing is, it's sort of like it's you got to make sure that like the that it's just bothering whether it's bothering just the comic on stage or the rest of the crowd.
I think it was because it was like, just the comic. Because I was really like close, like corn, like out of his peripheral. You know, it's like I'm out of his peripheral. He could see me.
And for me, if some people are just talking, it's got to get really bad for me to disrupt the whole show. If I'm just doing 10 minutes, sometimes I'll just plow through the stuff and not bother dealing with it.
Yeah,
because
a lot of the times, you just kind of, hopefully, they'll shut up and you can
do
keep
your
going.
Thing.
But I'm all
right,
actually.
Okay, my final question, right?
Sure.
Oh. What's the comedian end goal?
Is it a special on Netflix?
Well, see, that's the thing. There's no top of the ladder. Like, there is no, you just keep climbing. It's not a weird, it's not like you work at a law firm and you're the top lawyer and you get to stay there.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't stop. Yeah.
It's the next good show. It's like, whatever is, like, in front of you. Yeah. I mean, people, like, I don't know, I'm really young in this industry and, so cool starting out because the stakes are, like, very, very low. But, like, you know, once you start making, if you are able to start making money and, like, tour and like gig around and like really get into it, like that's if you love it, that's the goal, I would guess. I don't know. Yeah, Netflix special would be cool, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't turn that down.
Like your own TV show.
Honestly,
like
I'm saying, like,
some people want a sitcom, some people want to be in movies and
TV. That's what I mean. Like,
and a lot of people, stand up's just a springboard to that. But then there's a lot of people that just love to do stand up and then that's all they're interested in. And they can do bigger clubs, tour, specials, all that. But it's not like there's some, you know, it's showbiz. At no point you can just sit back and go, well, I don't have to work anymore. I'm done here.
Yeah.
Like you're never
at the top of the castle,
Yeah, you can't stop. You can't relax too much.
I do.
You can enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You should.
I do write. Like I write for my stand-up, but I also write like in television. And that's like, if they kind of feed each other, which is pretty cool. Like I think the stand-up informs because it is like sitcom-y style and you want like to get a real audience's response is just stuff, it's priceless. So that's helpful. And I do write about weed a lot, and it's like that's a current like culture that's evolving right now. So it's
when you write for sitcom, do they encourage you writing about marijuana, or they're like, eh?
It depends on the project, but like I am developing like a series. Like it's in the zeitgeist, so like once it's in the culture, it's got to be represented in entertainment.
Subject in some places, and
yeah,
and it depends how key it is to the story, I suppose, and if you can justify it, and then that's probably they'd let you. I'm amazed some of the shit that you can get away with on CBC sometimes.
Oh, like for
I'm
sure.
Surprised. So it's like they're always breaking those boundaries, and the internet is taking people away from TV.
Yeah.
And so is Netflix and other, you know, cable channels and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think stand-up is the kind of thing that you start, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you just kind of can't stop it.
It's like
and you have to keep going.
An addiction.
It's corny, but it is like a drug. It is, you got to keep feeding it. Got to keep chasing the dragon for the next best set.
Totally. Is there a difference between funny between your friends and comedian funny, or like?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to be able to make strangers laugh. Yeah. You got to get on stage and exude your character as fast as you can, and so people connect with you immediately. But they have to, you know, they have to be strangers. They can't be like, oh, Joe, hey, there's old funny Joe. You can't do that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Unless you become famous, then
yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Right. Okay. Well, I really appreciate y'all coming through to sit with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes,
thank you.
That was a delectable treat.
Yes.
You know what?
Smoking weed with you guys is so fun.
Yes. So let the people know where to find you social media wise.
Okay. Yes. All right. You can follow me. Sorry. I'm a little stoned.
It's 420, yo.
Yeah, it's 420. I'm on Instagram at... thank you. This is an embarrassing name to say out loud, but add Zoe Zoe Haha. That's right.
Zoe Zoe Haha.
Zoe Zoe Haha. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It worked.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
And on Twitter at Zoe Brownstone.
Nice.
That's me.
Nice. And Dave?
You can find me at DaveMartinWorld.com and on Twitter at DaveMartinWorld. And I have a podcast called the No Wrong Answers Comedy Podcast.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming through. We have two more comedians, or maybe three more, that are going to be coming through. And yeah, it's the world's most smoked out podcast. We love hip hop. Yeah.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't, you know, like.
Nice.
It's blessed. It's
what a venue, though. What a venue where Rebecca was just saying that menu was just somebody goes, what are all the things that people love when they're high? And that's what's on the menu.
Oh, yeah. The menu is like...
It's
comfort food.
We've memorized it, yeah.
French fries, classic grilled cheese, egg rolls, poutine, nacho supreme, chicken shawarma, veggie nachos, big chicken wing, vegetable.
Like, shawarma's in there, too. Stuff you didn't even think you liked when you were high. And now you're like, no, you know what? That is...
That it's like going to the grocery store.
These people are revolutionaries here.
Yes, it's the Youngsterdam, yo.
Youngsterdam, man. Come through with your girlfriend, your wife, your girlfriends, your side piece, whatever. You know, it's all
just
welcome.
Just the one right now. I don't know how many you're working
with. I'm not insinuating anybody what, but that, I just say, you know, if your game's that strong and you can come with your side thing and your main thing, then do it. It's welcome. You know what I'm saying?
So let's just get back to business over here. So we're in the Youngsterdam, right?
Yes, we are.
And we have two more really funny comedians in the building, right? And I was watching the I'm talking about these guys, right? I was watching last night, and I guess you've been in a lot of different places, Mr. Hassan.
I've been in some places.
Yeah. And you got some comedy that's... Okay, let me start with you, okay? So... Without just saying all you and you and you. All right. So Ali Hassan and Rebecca Reed are in the fucking building over here.
Our
with
other
us,
two
right?
guests tonight.
I said fuck, so you guys are allowed to say fuck.
Oh, right? Yes, perfect. You can swear.
Fucking perfect. Right?
Off-brand color question, okay? That reverse landing strip, is it working for you now?
Yeah.
Is it still working?
Always. Always working. That's my favorite move, man.
So what is? I'm not privy. I didn't get to see that.
Like, how filthy can I be on this? Can I?
Yeah, you can just
say anything.
Whatever you want.
Do whatever you gotta do.
You know what I call that move? I call it the fryer cunt.
The fryer. Oh gosh.
Explain what the reverse landing strip is for us.
Oh, okay. So
reverse.
Yeah, reverse. So it's like okay. So normally women, when they don't want to have sex with somebody, they'll say they'll just not shave. They'll be like, okay, I'm just not going to shave, and that's going to be like the barrier that stops this.
Yeah.
But then we do it every time anyway because we just really want
to
do it, right?
This has happened to
me. That's not stopping you at all. So then I came up with a thing where you just shave in the middle because there's no one – like you can't explain that to anybody, okay? Like it's insane. And the guy – if the guy says yes to that, run. Like get out of his house, man. Okay, you don't want that guy. Yeah.
It's like a reverse mohawk.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is called the fryer cunt.
Yes. Yeah.
Fryer Tuck had a ball.
Yes.
Yeah. That I had, so I take that a little bit personally.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to rob this of its comedy, and this might be the weed speaking, but
wow,
a landing strip technically should look exactly like what you're talking about, right? It should be bald down the middle, and that's how a real landing strip.
Oh, my goodness.
All this time we've been talking about landing strip, we've been doing it wrong.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little extra gravyish today.
this is a great way to start an interview right here.
Oh, yeah, man.
Absolutely. Ladies, you've been doing a reverse landing strip your whole life. I don't want to mansplain this to you, so Rebecca Reeds will do it instead.
Yes.
Okay, so like, how much weed have you guys been smoking for 420 for today?
No, I couldn't. I can't go on stage when I'm high. So I just took a hit of a joint before I went on. I said, yes, thank you. Thank
well,
you.
There you
the
are.
Now.
Now you're on World's Most Smoked Out podcast, so you're going to smoke. You know what I mean? And okay, I got a question for you, Mr. Hassan.
This gifted weed we got.
Now, you have a tour called Muslim Interrupted.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, how's that tour going? Give us a description of that and like the day-to-day.
So that tour came out of the reality in my home,
mm-hmm.
where I'm, you know, I went to an Islamic Sunday school. My parents a little bit involved with the religion, not too much.
Okay.
But I was always surrounded by, like, my kids have nothing. They have no exposure to religion at all. It's not in school. It's nothing. But I had some, but I wasn't good at it. Like I had a block. I couldn't learn how to read Arabic properly.
All right.
I couldn't remember stuff I was learning. So now my kids are asking me questions about Islam. So they go, we're Muslim, right? I go, for sure. And then my son will be like, do we go to the mosque? And I'll be like, no, you would notice if we go to the mosque. We don't go to the mosque. He's like, and then he'd go to school because kids in his school were asking him, do you go to mosque? He'd come home and ask me, do we go to the mosque? I go, no. Okay. Then the next day he gives them that answer. Then they go, why don't you go to the mosque? So he comes. This is a 5-year-old.
Yeah. Right, right.
Why don't we go to the mosque?
Five-year-old.
I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm a fucking freelance Muslim. I fucking figured out my shit. You figure out your own. Then he goes back to school, and then he's got more questions for me. You know, like, why do you eat pork? I'm like, holy fuck. Just get these kids right here. Let's cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
Send these kids from school directly to me.
Yeah.
And I'll handle this. Not that I know how to do that. I would actually probably be like, you kids get off my lawn. I don't want to be interviewed by any of you. But so these are like day-to-day things that I'm going through. So then, you know, you go on stage. You just start bringing some of your reality to stage. And I noticed it was getting an interesting reaction.
Right.
Then I was like building. Like, I have an unnatural love for pork. It was like the forbidden fruit as a Muslim. And now a couple of years ago, I was asked to be a judge at Rib Fest. And I was like, oh, man, there is a God, and he is not Muslim.
Wow.
He is a pork-loving God, because why would he do this for me? The heavens have parted and allowed me to be a judge at Rib Fest. Come on.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So I'm talking about this kind of stuff on stage, and it's, you know, I have people enjoying it. I can hear the laughter is there. But then I also have people coming up after the show going, hey, man, that's interesting. I didn't know Muslims couldn't eat pork.
Right.
Hey, that's interesting. You said something about praying 5 times a day. I didn't know Muslims had to pray 5 times. I didn't know you guys went to Sunday school.
Mm.
So somebody would be like, I'm Polish. I went to Sunday school. I'm Greek. I went to Sunday school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I'm creating this interesting thing where people are learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't consider myself an educator of any kind, so I never thought I'd be teaching people anything. So I'm like, these guys are learning stuff. they're enjoying it, they're appreciating it from that level, and they're being entertained. I was like, mm-hmm. I think I got something. And I just build it and build it into a, it's an hour and 20 minute show.
Nice.
I toured it around Canada.
Okay.
And the response has been just unbelievable.
Nice.
And it's mostly white people at the show. I thought it would be other Pakistanis, people who've been to Islamic Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Very few, man, maybe 10%.
Nice.
It's always people who are Catholic, Jewish, a couple of ethnic people, but I just love it. I just never pictured this for myself. This wasn't a goal. It just came up organically, and then it turned into this.
Yeah, people want to learn about the culture and stuff.
Yeah.
And you see how we started like with that crazy joke there?
Yes.
You ever feel that you went too far with a joke and like you just saw somebody's reaction, you're like in your head, maybe I went too far.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. That's a very familiar feeling.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I remember, I think the worst one, like I can remember, I could pick him out of a crowd. Like, I remember his face so clearly. I got hired to do this job where they asked us to be pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you can be a little dirty, but be like pretty clean.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And then we showed up and it was like this, you know, motorcycle venue, and I'm like reading bumper stickers that are like very aggressive. I'm like, nah. And then off the top, the MC, he gets like super dirty. So I'm like, oh, this isn't a rule.
Yeah.
So then I start going through my set, and it's going pretty well, and it's going pretty well, and it's going pretty well. And then I get to my last joke. And I don't have anything after this. Like, this is, I'm throwing everything on this.
Right.
So I do my last joke, and it is, I will say, my dirtiest joke for sure. But in my head, it's been going well up until this point.
So
I'm like,
it.
This is the one that's going to kill it. I'm like, this is going to smash. The organizer's going to love me. And I do it, and it is borderline silence. Borderline silence. And I look at the back, and the organizer's just like shocked. And I'm like, oh no.
Yikes.
He was still like super polite about it at the end, like, you know, thank you for coming,
for
all
sure.
that kind of stuff. But like, I could tell, I was like, that was it for that guy. Like, holy shit.
Man.
Oh, it haunts me. I think about it all the time. It haunts me.
I've had situations where people go, hey man, we'd love to have you here. I saw you at this show. I'd love to have you here do this show. Would it be okay if you didn't tell that joke that you told? I'd be like, oh, shit, okay. But mine's not always filthy. Mine's actually, I do very little dirty comedy.
Right.
I have four kids, two. My girls are stepdaughters of mine. So when I met them, they were, I think, 4 and 6.
Okay.
So my wife and I get married. I've got these two girls. I don't know how to be a father, but I'm just trying to be, you know, whatever I can do, figure this out. And my 6-year-old was on the iPad, and she goes, Papa, how do you spell your name again? Because, you know, they're not 4 and 6. They're not learning how to spell my name. The fact they're calling me Papa makes me super happy.
Really? Sure.
How do you spell your last name? I go, it's Hassan, Hassan. I go, wait, what are you doing over there? She goes, I'm just trying to find you on YouTube. And right in that moment, I'm like, just in my head, I go through all the foul shit that's come out of my mouth.
It's like the
oh, my God.
What is it? You know, they say you before you die, your life flashes.
Your
comedy life flashes.
Absolutely.
Your whole YouTube reel just went through.
It's like, oh my God, no. If she finds this one, she'll look at me different. Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, man.
Luckily, nobody cared to film me. That's how average my filth was. I was in Montreal. It was like bar gigs, LaSalle, wherever I could get stage time. Then I moved to Toronto, and I was just like, what if any of that was filmed? So then I just started doing... I started leaning towards cleaner stuff, and then the kids just were just giving me comedy on a platter sometimes. You know, I was just like, oh, this is...
It's cool.
I almost feel like I'm cheating sometimes. One time my wife calls me. This is like very early on. One of the first jokes I wrote about my kids. And my wife goes, Sonia wants to talk to you. So it's my 4-year-old daughter wants to talk to me.
Okay.
And I go, is everything okay, sweetheart? She goes, I found your dirty magazines.
Ooh.
I'm like, I didn't even know I had it. Oh my God, what? Okay, well, he's got me looking through my stuff. I didn't even know I had that stuff.
Found a stash.
Anyway, I'm like, which magazine? What is it?
Yes.
And I'm so embarrassed. Turns out it was Now Magazine, but those back pages have like these, like a She-Man with the nipples covered.
Oh,
so she thought she found a dirty magazine of mine. So I turned that into a bit. I go, well, that's the beginning of something for sure. Mm-hmm. Right? So then they were giving me, even though it's like a little bit blue, it's good. Like it's about family at the end of the day.
Yes, yes.
So they helped me shape my jokes, and it was it's been great ever since.
Nice. Oh, okay. And I have a question that for both of y'all.
Yes.
As Canadian comics.
I'll repeat the question. To Rebecca's getting a deal on some weed right now. Yeah. Ooh, nice, she's negotiating.
Some off-camera stuff's going on.
Okay, so for both of y'all, as Canadian comics, what's the biggest challenges?
Oh, just having like any sort of fan base, I think, is the hardest thing because we don't have as much exposure as they do in the States.
Yeah.
Like, especially with Netflix right now, like, mm-hmm. if you think about how many Canadian Netflix specials there are, zero. And like, I guess technically you could put one or two people in that category because they are Canadians, but they didn't film it in Canada.
Right.
And it's like, right now, I'm pretty sure we're getting like a huge amount of Netflix money is supposed to be coming. I thought we made a deal for that.
The deal wasn't made because of exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
There's no specifics.
Yeah. And it's fucking bullshit. It's like you can't get any traction, really. It's really, really hard to get...
notice.
You know, to kind of get, like, noticed here or whatever. Everybody moves to L.A. So then there's, like, the talent pool is kind of shallow because everybody just keeps leaving.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what about you, Ali?
Man, it's exactly what I would have said. More challenging than the stuff you do on stage. And in your first few years as you're trying to find your voice and trying to be reliably funny... That is a challenge. But once you get to a place where you're comfortable, you're achieving some level of success, the next step is very difficult to find here. And I think, you know, these young kids who are starting comedy, I think they're also doing stuff on YouTube. They're also doing sketches, Instagram stories. They're using social media to its fullest, and I think that's great. You know, I started 12 years ago. There wasn't really, like, they were still smoking in the bars in Montreal 12 years ago while you're doing comedy.
Wow.
Like social media has been something I've had to learn. I feel like I'm playing catch up as a dude in his 40s trying to figure out what's the best way to post this in a
best
way that it's still authentic to myself, not just chasing the likes, which I don't feel like doing that. But yeah, you just don't know. There's no way. There's no star system, so you don't have a path. You sign with this agent, then he'll get you on late night, then she'll put you here, and then they'll put you... There's none of that. So we're just trying to figure out our way, and there's no... guaranteed solution. I feel very blessed to have ever gotten in with the CBC. I was on a show one season, George Strombolopoulos show.
I was
on that for a year, and then it just kept, you know, bring me in for other stuff, which is great, but even that doesn't get you guaranteed bums in seats when you go tour. So
for sure,
the guys who do it, that's a real hustle.
Well, okay. Let's get into like the stand up, like in the moments with the hecklers. Give me a fucked up heckler story.
How do you deal with the hecklers?
Well, it's very tricky, man. It's very tricky because Vandad is a heckle magnet.
MC Vandad Kadar.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with you, buddy. But I,
Mr. Kadar, give me a heckler story.
You know, to be honest, I don't get heckled too much because the thing is, it's the Canadian audience. The Canadian, I only have one setting. But the Canadian audience is like super nice. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times they'll just maybe not laugh, and that's like them being like, you suck. But we have this show downtown called The Danger Room.
Okay.
This maniac comedian named Dan Guiry runs it. And there it's like encouraged to heckle. It always sells out and people come. And comedians come up, and all the people in the audience just like roast the hell out of them, and just make fun of them, and just like heckle in between everything.
Wow!
But
that is agreed upon.
But I got one heckle story that happened at my show. It wasn't me being heckled, but a few comics in a row were being heckled by this group right in the front. Just either loud conversation or just straight up like talking shit to the punchline, over and over until. The comics just started letting loose, okay? So they wrote an email to the bar, and the email was like, I came with my friend, and they said that that my friend looks like a retarded Zooey Deschanel, and that I look like a horse, And then and then the comic got the whole bar to chant, and the and I was there. This verified the whole bar did chant, and this is quoted in the email. Large caps, all quotes, shoot the horse, shoot the horse, which everyone did yell. It was so fucking sweet. It was the best time ever. It was my show. I'll put my brand on that, baby, any day. We out here live in grime. It's real Toronto. Thick skin comedy every Monday.
Oh, man. Yes,
Hemingways,
yes,
but they funny. Have no affiliation with any of my statements thereof.
Hey, I'm rolling with it. I'm feeling it. You know what
Thanks
I'm saying?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Rebecca, give me a heckler.
Yeah, this is Rebecca Reeds. You guys know Ali Hassan. They were on my show. It was so sick. I want Rebecca to say more.
Dude, you you could you fit in on our conversation here.
Yeah,
you're on.
I wanted to introduce
myself. Well, okay. Listen,
well, you just did.
We wanted to make sure that we got all of the comedians that were in the building, and you were the MC for the night, right? So it's good. We have everybody in the same place. So let's stay on our heckler moment here.
For sure.
You're on the stage, you're doing your thing. Give me a heckler story.
Oh, dude, I don't get a lot of like negative heckles. Like I'll get like people like speaking up. And normally it's something like kind of positive, or at least they're drunk and they're trying to join in, so I'm never like that upset, because I'm like, oh, you're just having fun, whatever. Although I did have a guy, I was doing a like something sexual, I can't remember what the joke was, but it was something sexual,
right?
And this guy stood up and said, hell yeah, that's for me. And I was like, oh my god, that's the guy that proposed to his girlfriend before the show started. Oh,
nice.
Oh my god. Yeah, for real. It was that absolute. It was a fucking crazy. He did this terrible proposal. It was uncomfortable. The girl, obviously, I don't know. I think she kind of wanted to say no, but she was in front of 200 people.
She's like,
which is why I think public, that's fucking bullshit. Don't do that to somebody.
That's the moment.
No. You know what? That's not cool.
I'm going to do it. Yeah?
No, good. It was fucking horrifying then.
That's fucked up, though.
It is. Don't do that to a girl. Oh, okay, man. Privately.
Especially if you love this person.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand. Man. Anyway, here, I'll pass it off.
And Ali, give me a moment.
I mean, I don't remember what she said, but it was, like, kind of rude, and it's at Absolute. It's just so funny. This crowd, this club in Ottawa, Absolute Comedy, it just get, and there's one in Toronto, but in Ottawa, it's just ram Tuesday night, Sunday night, doesn't matter. Sold out shows all week long. So just like this constant flow of people, you know, shitty and wonderful.
Right.
So you get to deal with some stuff, and sometimes you can put people in their place and all that. You know, my worst fear is somebody saying something racist like, yo, Packy, go home. But to be honest, something like that gets handled by the audience. They go, hey, shut the fuck up, you ignorant. Even if it's your friend, shut up, Steve, you dumb fuck. Like, people get embarrassed to that, right?
Sure.
So,
oh man.
So I don't actually worry about that anymore. I don't actually worry about that anymore. What I have had, which I couldn't handle, was a woman at Absolute. She's sitting alone. She's overweight.
Right.
And she's in the second row, and she's eating chicken wings by herself.
Oh boy.
And she said something to me, and she'd been talking to a bunch of comics before me too. She said something to me. And I was like, I'm going to handle this. And I look at her, and I can only think one thing, because she's overweight, and she's got this pile of chicken wings, like 24. It looked like, you know, my mind is growing every time I think of this. But she says something rude, and all I want to say was like, why don't you keep shoving chicken wings up your fat face and stay quiet? And then I was like, I can't do that.
Right.
Yeah. This crowd will turn on me. Never mind anything other than telling a fat person they're fat, especially if they're female. Way worse. Yeah. But I couldn't see or think of it. And I was like, this crowd doesn't even know she's eating chicken wings. She's like around it. And I'm just going to be like, stuff those chicken wings back in your face. And no one's going to see the chicken wings. All they're going to see is a shadowy, large figure. And I was like, because I could only think of one thing to say. And I couldn't get out of that way of thinking. And then I was just like, okay. And then I just went to the next joke, and I always remember how I got handled by this one. But there's an injustice about it, you know, where you're like, man, come on. You know you're sad and lonely. You're alone at a club. You're shoving chicken wings in your mouth, only taking a break to say rude shit to comics. You're in the wrong here.
Right.
Yes. And I can't do anything about it. I remember the injustice of it all.
Well, put it
this way. I don't even know how I would do it today. I still don't think I think I would get down on one knee and whisper to them in a kind of like a friendly but like backhanded, you know,
backhanded like, remark.
Listen, I understand you're eating a lot of chicken wings. Maybe they're spicy. Maybe you're angry right now, but I don't need you to take that out. I mean, you know what I mean? Like coach them down, but still be like, you're shoving chicken wings
lady,
in your fat face.
Put the wing down.
Yeah.
Walk away from the wing. Right?
Leave the blue cheese alone.
Yeah.
Rebecca, do you get comedy groupies?
That's why she got in this game.
Like a bit. Yeah, like a bit. Like a couple of... It's always women. Like, I think I really speak to a female audience.
Okay.
And I think it's more like, and generally somewhat middle-aged women for whatever reason.
Right, right.
They are my bread and butter. And, so I get women, and I'm just like, oh, you know, just add me on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll, like, message me and be like, hey, so, like, when are you coming through town? I want to come see you again, da 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 da.
What's the approach like? Like, what's, like, give me a description of, like, that scenario. Is it like, hey, I really liked your show that you did just now. Like, I really, really liked it. Like, is that what's happening?
No, man, it's not that creepy. It's like, it's...
Rebecca, I want to just describe you. You're an extremely youthful-looking girl who could pass for anything between 17 and 24. So for the middle-aged women, coming to you, they're dipping into a cradle a little bit.
The Cougs.
Oh, my God.
The Cougars.
All right. That was great. Love it. No, it's like...
He's not wrong at all. Not wrong.
No. And it's like, normally it's like after a show, it's pretty cool. They'll be like, oh, you know, like, can I buy you a drink or whatever? Like, you'll be around, like, just chatting with people anyway. Like, generally, especially at a club, I'll try and, like, stick around. Like, you know, it's nice to talk to people or whatever.
Right.
Unless I had a bad set, then I get the fuck out of there. Yeah. See ya. Yeah. But then, yeah, so you just, like, whatever, you chat for half an hour and they're like, oh, you know, like, I'd really like to see your set again, whatever. And like, I don't have my shit together at all as far as like social media or website or anything goes, so I just always say like, oh, just add me on Facebook, and that's the only way I communicate with people.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it.
Later on Facebook with offers of hooking up, or they try to hook up after the club right there?
No, Facebook, like a few months later they'll be like, oh, like, when are you coming through town again?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not like hip hop groupies then. They're not like waiting like backstage like.
No. No. Yeah, some nice people.
Yeah. I'm talking about the groupies.
Would you have any description?
My mind went dirty. Nothing has ever happened dirty in my actual life. It is the saddest. I don't. Well, here's the thing. Now I have four kids. I spent a bunch of time talking about my four kids. I mean, if you still want to hook up with me, then. You're a terrible person, you know? You goddamn homewrecker. You heard me talk about how I think about my wife.
My wife and four kids.
I have four kids. What are you doing here? This is the biggest turnoff ever, you know?
At least he's stable.
Yeah. That's the problem. Must be making a little bit of money, feeding four children. I'm in.
Oh, man. Okay, wow. I can go on forever with you guys here. Okay, I think that's it.
Thank you for having us, man.
Yeah, man. I want you guys, because you just described that you're like shit with social media, so it kind of threw me off. But I want you guys to give me the social medias of where people can find you.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can just find me at Rebecca Reeds. It's R-E-E-D-S at whatever, Instagram, Twitter. I got them. I'm just not good at it. But you can follow me anyway.
Hey.
Well, you did one of the best things by getting just one name everywhere, because I find... You know, it's like such terrible branding when somebody has to go, you can find me at John Duchovny or whatever, or on Facebook, John ain't playing, or on Instagram, find me of like Don John, and you're like, man, I'm not remember any of that. That is all a blur now. I'm not finding you, and then you just made it difficult.
Yeah.
Even in this day and age, it was so easy to find someone. You made it more difficult for them to find you.
I tell this to like because we're always interviewing rappers and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So when they tell me that they just have one thing across the board, I'm like. Yes,
man. It shows that you were thinking.
Yeah.
So, like any intelligent rapper, I also at Stand Up Ali. It's all standupali.com, Ali everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Herc, let the people know where to find you.
Well, it's me, SSC _ Hey Herc _ PK on Instagram, because that's the only platform I fuck with. So, you know, You can find me there. Episode is very good. I'm really high right now. I've been smoking all day. You know what I'm saying?
There's no number on the episode.
If you guys aren't smoking all day, then who is, right? Oh, you have to do this for the people.
We were at the celebration.
We were there. It was, like I said, I came up. Where I came up from the underground where I parked, it was like right into the, like, just like 100 people smoking weed.
Yeah.
I followed my way by sniffing my way to the exit, like, that's the way out. And then I got up there, and I walked around, pulled out my blunt, and I lit it, and I was like, oh, hey, it's 420. And then the big cloud went up in the sky. It was a good day.
Oh, nice. It has been a good day.
Yeah. Traffic sucked, though, but it was a good day.
It has been a good day. So, and hit me up on my website. Which camera am I looking at? Right over here?
Yes, one right
hit
there.
Me up on my website, Friday, a.k.a. Ricky Dredd. That's D-R-E-D. On my social media platforms, like a cool rapper. Friday Ricky Dredd, that's D-R-E-D. Instagram and our Twitter, that's We Love Hip Hop Toronto. And hit up the YouTube channel. Hit that little subscribe button in the corner. Like, comment, do all that good shit that we got to do to get,
you know,
10K, we almost there. You know what I'm saying?
Get those numbers up.
We're at 7 right now, so.
Nice.
3 more.
10 down on it. What is it? 10 down?
10 down.
Yo, get us a 10 down, man.
Get us
the 10 bands.
I'm going to lead us out with one of our future interviews that we're going to have on the We Love Hip Hop podcast. Shout out to Jeezy Loke. Yes. Ride with me. Let's get
Thank
it
Thank you guys for coming through.
My pleasure. I feel like we talked about comedy. You know, We Love Hip Hop. I would have loved to talk about, like, KRS-One.
If you my nigga, no, I'm never switching up, cause I ride with my
nigga.
Beef, then you know I'm keeping up.
Oh, you see this? I'm gonna ask him about Cardi B. You hear it? You hear it?
Fire! Fire!
Yeah.
You gonna do a break with me?